the whole chiddush of Yediyas HaTorah VaHasagasas, something that does not exist in any other mitzvah, even in Talmud Torah Shabbat Dibur. Every other mitzvah, the divine reality remains ultimately outside the inner identity of the human being. It envelops him, it embraces him, it encircles him, engirdles him. There's a real relationship, no question about it. In Perek Dalet, we learned what the Alter Rebbe says about a mitzvah. But there's one unique thing about Torah, and that is that the Torah, the actual wisdom of God, enters into the mind, is absorbed within the mind, becomes one with the mind. So the identity, the mind, the thought process of the human being is the divine wisdom, Torah, which is divine. And as the Arizal writes in Eitz Chaim, Portal 44, Chapter 3, Shalavushay Hanashamais began Eden Heina Mitzvahs. That mitzvahs are the garments of the souls in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, in Paradise. Vahatayra, and the Torah, on the other hand, he hamazoin linishamais, sha'asku ba'ilam hazi b'tayra lishma, is the food of the souls in Gan Eden, the souls which have engaged in Torah study lishma for its own sake during their life on this earth. As it is explained at length in the Zohar and Parshas Vayakal on page 210. The Eitz Chaim just says those words very briefly, that the mitzvahs are the levushim of the neshamas in Gan Eden. The Torah is the mazon for the neshamas. In Zohar Vayakal, this concept is elaborated, the Zohar which the Eitz Chaim makes reference to, and the Zohar is the one who says that it's mazon for those neshamas who engaged in Torah study for its own sake while they were on this earth. In light of what was explained previously in this chapter, we understand very well the concept being conveyed in Zohar and in Eitz Chaim. When the neshama leaves this body after its life on earth, and it ascends to the spiritual realms of existence, it needs garments and it needs food. Just as a human being, a body, needs garments in order to protect it, in order to express itself, in order to have a relationship with certain environments and so on and so forth, the soul in paradise also needs garments. Spiritual garments, of course. Metaphysical garments. What are the garments of the soul in Gan Eden? Over there you're not dealing with physical garments, you're dealing with spiritual garments. These are mitzvahs. Why? What did mitzvahs give the soul when it was here on this world? The mitzvahs encase the soul with a divine, holy garment. That's what mitzvahs do. They envelop. They embrace the human identity with godliness, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the light of Hashem. Therefore, when the neshama leaves the body, what is its garment? And over there you need a godly garment, a spiritual garment. Those are the garments of Gan Eden. Its mitzvahs are the garments. That allows the neshama to function in a perfected and superb manner. It possesses a garment. If the neshama doesn't have any mitzvahs, it's naked. It doesn't have the godly garments. But in addition to that, the neshama also needs food. Just as in this world, the body cannot live only by wearing clothes. You have to have food that should sustain you. The body cannot only have something external that protects it. It has to have something internal that gives it vitality, life, and strength. The same is true in Olam Haba. The neshama can experience Olam Haba in a real way, not only when it has a godly garment, but also when it has an inner identity of godliness. An Eir Eloki Pnimi, a divine light which has permeated it, which has penetrated it. What gives the neshama this element? This is Torah. When the neshama learns Torah in this world, so when it ascends l'mayla, it has food. It's a healthy, perfected neshama. Its internal system and anatomy is complete and healthy. Why? Because it has learned Torah, and Torah gives the neshama godly food. It becomes bread for the soul, as explained earlier. And the Alter Rebbe continues, v'lishma, the meaning of lishma, the meaning of Torah study for its own sake, is haynu kedei lekasher nafshei l'Hashem al yedei hasagas haTorah. Is studying Torah with the intent of binding one's soul to Hashem by comprehending the Torah. In other words, when the Zohar tells us that the Torah becomes mazayin to those neshamas that were engaged in Torah study lishma. So the Alter Rebbe defines, what does it mean learning Torah lishma? So the Alter Rebbe gives here his definition that one studies Torah with the kavana, with the intention that he wants to bind and connect his reality, his identity, his soul to Hashem. How? By comprehending Torah, by understanding a word, a concept, an idea of Hashem's Torah. Ish kifi sichloi, each man according to the capacity of his intellect. K'may shekasuv b'pri yitzchayim, as explained in Pri Yitzchayim. Every single person who studies Torah with the intention that he wants to connect to Hashem through understanding Torah according to his intellectual capacity. In other words, although not all intellects are alike, not everyone has the same learning abilities, not everyone has the same capacity, some people are brilliant, some people are average, some people are lower than average. But that's not the point. When a Jew learns Torah according to his ability, he understands what he can with relative to the ability of his mind, and he does it in order to connect to Hashem, the Torah that he learns becomes real godly bread and food that permeates and sustains him and gives him vitality. And Alter Rebbe quotes the Pri Yitzchayim, referring, it seems, to Shar Hanhagas HaLimud, where Reb Chaim Vital, who's the writer of author of Pri Yitzchayim, writes that Moiri, my Rebbe, used to say that the main intention of learning Torah, Iker kavanas hakriya b'teira tluya b'zeh sheyichavin l'kasher esnafshay l'adbika l'shar shayidei ha-teira, that the intent is to connect his soul to its source through Torah. So it seems from those words of Pri Yitzchayim that that is how the Arizal defined the meaning of Torah Lishma. By the way, the fact that Alter Rebbe interprets over here what Lishma is not just since he mentioned the word. So he's already telling us his definition of the word. But rather, when you see the Zohar, when the Zohar says that the Torah is mazin for the neshamas who learn Torah lishma, so the Alter Rebbe explained it's mazin for the neshamas. Why? Because Torah is mazin. Maybe meaning in the Zohar is that the lishma creates the element of mazin in Torah. So the Alter Rebbe says the reason why is lishma, that's what lishma really means. Lishma really means that your intention is to connect through Torah, which is the whole concept of Torah, as explained earlier in the Perek. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, is it clear? Any questions? It's pretty easy to learn Torah Lishma according to the Alter Rebbe. Yeah? Your question is, in light of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, who emphasized so much the unique advantage that existed in Anashim Pshutim, in the simple Jews who, although they were no major Torah scholars, but they had simple faith and commitment to Hashem and to Torah and Mitzvahs, would it mean that in light of this, they lose out on the mazain that Torah introduces into the Talmud Chacham's life? Okay, it's a very good question. There are several points over here. First of all, let me emphasize, Alter Rebbe is not dealing now with the schar of Torah. Alter Rebbe is not saying, you know, if you do a mitzvah, you'll get spiritually $100. If you learn Torah, you'll get $500. He's dealing with the natural consequence and result of learning Torah. When one does a mitzvah, it generates a natural consequence, not as a reward. That is what a mitzvah is all about. And Torah, what it's all about is that it becomes food for the soul naturally by virtue of what it is. In addition to that, the Alter Rebbe adds, since Torah becomes mazon, so when the soul leaves this world and enters Gan Eden, so what is the mazon of the soul in Gan Eden is the Torah. That's just one point I wanted to clarify. Now, concerning the actual question, the answer is as follows. If you realize, the Alter Rebbe emphasized several times, ish kifi sichloi, every human being according to his intellectual capacity. In other words, a Jew who does not have the ability simply intellectually, to master and to understand Torah like his colleague, like another Jewish person, it does not mean that when he learns Torah, Hashem becomes less absorbed within his mind than by his wiser colleague. His wiser colleague is learning much more and much deeper and so, but since he is utilizing his capacity to its utmost, whatever the capacity that Hashem gave him, so his whole mind is becoming connected to the whole Torah that he managed to study. If you have a huge, tall bottle of seltzer, and you have this cup, and they're both full to the top, they're both fulfilled. Everyone according to its own capacity. But if the tall bottle of seltzer is only filled halfway, and the cup is filled all the way, although a half a bottle of seltzer contains much more water than the water in the cup, but the bottle of seltzer is not fulfilled, and the cup is fulfilled. Saying that, however, should be emphasized also the other aspect. And that is, there is no question that the Baal Shem Tov true emphasized the uniqueness of emunah, of simple dedication. By the very same token, the Baal Shem Tov himself and his disciples, including Reb Shneur Zalman, who was disciple of the Maggid, convey in this perek the advantage that exists in Limud HaTorah that mitzvahs do not have. There is a relationship and something unique about mitzvahs. There is something extraordinary and unique about Torah that mitzvahs do not possess. So from that perspective, from that element, a Jew, for example, who does not study Torah, who only performs mitzvahs, is lacking that. However, if a Jew learns Torah ishki v'sichlai, so he has that advantage. But over here, there's one more point, and that is that in light of what we learned over here, it's understood that someone who devotes his whole life to Torah study, something very special happens to him when the Torah is learned with the right intention. And that is, since when you learn a concept of Torah thoroughly, it becomes one with your mind at the time. So if you devote your whole life to Torah study, your mind is transformed. And now, the mind and the Torah have become so united, so much connected, that this person's mind is a Torah-dika mind. And that is the deeper significance of the Alter Rebbe's words when he was discussing how the bread becomes part of the circulation. That this is a deeper element in Limud HaTorah when a Jew studies Torah throughout his whole life, he dedicates his life to study Torah, and he studies it with the intention to become connected with Hashem through that Torah. Torah Lishma, as he explains over here. Then his mind and the Torah become one, not only when he's learning, since he keeps on learning and learning and learning, so his mind becomes refined in accordance to the Torah's blueprint and perspective. And he thinks in a Torah-dika way. To clarify that point, let me share with you an episode. Concerning one of the great Gaonim, the great Torah masters, who lived in the 19th century. He's known as Reb Shneur Zalman of Lublin. Lublin is a city in Poland. He is the author of a famous work known as Teras Chesed, and he was a devout pupil, student, and chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson, the grandchild of the Baal HaTanya of Reb Shneur Zalman. Reb Shneur Zalman of Lublin was known not only to be a major gaon in Torah, but he had a phenomenal photographic memory, to the extent that the story is told that in those times you had... Today you also have, but then it was a little different. The Meichri Sfarim, you know, the Jews that would go around from city to city selling books. So usually you come into a store, you go into a Sfarim store. So you don't have to buy the book immediately. You could stand 20 minutes, a half an hour, even an hour, blätter through the book, see if you like it, and then you decide to buy it or not buy it. But the seller of Sfarim would not allow Reb Shneur Zalman of Lublin to do that. Why? Because when he would read through the book once, he memorized it already. So he didn't have to buy it. So the Meichri Sfarim at that time, whose name was the Rashbats, allowed Reb Shneur Zalman only to look at the title page. You like the title page, buy it. You don't like the title page, have a nice day. To that extent, Reb Shneur Zalman of Lublin would come once a year to the city of Lubavitch. City of Lubavitch is a small town in Russia, the home of the grandson of the Baal HaTanya, the Tzemach Tzedek. He used to come to him Shavuos time. And the custom was that every year he would go into the Tzemach Tzedek, who himself was known as one of the greatest Torah scholars of his generation. And he would convey to him concepts of Torah that he developed, he initiated throughout the past year. And usually he would say a pilpul in front of the Tzemach Tzedek, which is a long, lengthy, scholarly Torah discourse. And he would eagerly anticipate this day the Tzemach Tzedek would listen and respond. One day, he comes to the Tzemach Tzedek one year and he enters into his room. Tzemach Tzedek says, "Nu." So he begins saying his pilpul, articulating and conveying to the Rebbe his long, in-depth, brilliant Torah discourse. In middle, Tzemach Tzedek says, "Reb Shneur Zalman." Not in the middle. When he concluded the entire discourse, Tzemach Tzedek smiles and says, "Reb Shneur Zalman, the logical ideas you conveyed are beautiful, are amazing, but the foundation is in contrast with a clear Mishnah in Shas." Reb Shneur Zalman immediately processed the whole Shas through his mind, every single Mishnah, and he says, "Rebbe, ich weiß nicht. Rebbe, I can't figure it out." So the Tzemach Tzedek says, in Seder Kachim, in that part, the Shas is divided into six parts, that part of Kachim. Seder Kachim immediately plays through his mind, fast speed, and he tells the Rebbe, "Ich weiß nicht." So Tzemach Tzedek says, "Mesechta Bcheiris, tractate called Bcheiris." He runs Bcheiris through his mind, "Ich weiß nicht." So Tzemach Tzedek began uttering the words of the specific Mishnah, word for word in Hebrew, and translating it in Yiddish. And he said at that moment he realized that the logic, the rationale that the Mishnah is conveying over here stands in sheer, clear contrast to the foundation of his discourse. So when he came out that night, he met the Meiches Svarim, the Rashbats, the one who used to sell him the Svarim, and he was deeply broken. He says, "For years, decades and decades, I have studied Torah. But it's only tonight, today, that I came to discover what Torah Lishma means." In other words, he says, "I knew Shas. I incorporated all of the Gemara. But nevertheless, my mind managed to produce ideas that were in contrast with the logic of Torah. So, of course, there is a major connection that occurs even in that type of Limudat Torah. But then there's a deeper element." That's what the Tzemach Tzedek expressed. When your mind becomes so saturated with the wisdom of Torah that your mind doesn't allow you to produce a concept which is not a Torah concept. Your mind is governed by the laws of Torah wisdom, which is the deepest wisdom existing in the world, that you can't even think, originate, or develop, initiate, or conceive a concept which is not Torah, because your seichel itself became Torah. Your mind itself became Torah. And that's the deeper level of Limud HaTorah, where it becomes mazayin. It becomes part and parcel of the mind, where there is no distinction. But nevertheless, this is a deeper element and quite a high stage and level and rank, as it's quite obvious. But basically, the point that the Rebbe is conveying, that when a Yid learns Torah, whenever it is and whoever it is, and he understands the concept, the Yichud Nifla, the wonderful extraordinary union, is achieved. And the Rebbe continues, V'hamazayin hipchinis oipnimi. The food of the soul refers to the level known as Oipnimi, indwelling light. V'halavushim p'chines makifim, the garments refer to the level of encompassing light. Why is it that we define Torah as mazayin and mitzvahs as lavushim? Because mazayin is the metaphor for energy that permeates, that penetrates in an internal way. Lavushim is the physical metaphor for an oyer makif, for a light that does not permeate, but rather embraces, encircles, girds, and so on and so forth. So Torah is defined as mazayin, and mitzvahs as levushim. V'lachein amru rabbeinu zal. And it is for this reason that our sages have said, shetalmud Torah shakul keneged kol hamitzvahs. That Torah study is equal to all of the other mitzvahs combined. Everyone knows the Mishnah. We say it every morning in the beginning of Masechta Peah, Peah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. The Talmud Torah is equal to all other mitzvahs combined. Indeed, the Mishnah over there is not talking about all the mitzvahs. The Mishnah is speaking about a certain category of mitzvahs.
But the Rambam actually makes it very clear in Hilchas Talmud Torah and Perek Gimel. He says, "Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvahs kulon shehishkulon neged Talmud Torah, ela Talmud Torah k'neged kol ha-mitzvahs kulon." There is no one mitzvah that is equal to Talmud Torah. Rather, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is equal to all other mitzvahs. In Yerushalmi, in Peah and Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the idea is conveyed even in sharper terms. The Yerushalmi says, "Afilu kol mitzvaseh shel Torah, einan shavais ledavar echad min haTorah." Even if you are to combine all the mitzvahs of Torah together, it is not worth in value to one word of Torah wisdom. Kol chafetzecha lo yishvu ba chafetzecha elu devar Torah. All your chafetzim, all your object, which refers over here to mitzvahs, cannot be compared, cannot be deemed identical, or compared, or close to Torah. Divrei Torah stav be above and beyond all the mitzvahs. Why? So the Alter Rebbe says, lefisha hamitzvahs hein levushim levat. For mitzvahs are garments alone, spiritual divine garments. Va'ap Torah, but while Torah himazain is food, v'gam levush. And it's also a garment, lenefesh hamaskela shemislabish ba be'iyuna v'limuda. For the intellectual soul that clothes herself within the Torah by the soul's concentration and study of Torah. So mitzvahs have the element of levushim. Torah is both mazin and levushim. So the Torah not only encompasses the soul with divine energy and light, but furthermore is also encompassed by the soul. The divine energy and reality is internalized within the soul. The kol shekein, how much more so? If one expresses the words of Torah orally, all of the above was said even in the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, the acquisition, the knowledge of Torah, and even the mitzvah of comprehension of Torah, even without uttering the words. Certainly when one utters the words, Shehevel HaDibur, Nase Bchinas Eir Makif, for the breath of speech becomes a kind of encompassing light, as is written in Pri Yitzchayim. So since the breath of speech becomes a kind of encompassing light, so the encompassing dynamic of Torah becomes so much more when one utters the words of Torah in addition to knowing and understanding the words of Torah. Yeah.
All the mitzvahs masses were to affect the tikkun. So when somebody is spending is Torah, that is shalom connected, because this is going back to the state. I mean, it's going back to the state before the chet of Adam Rishon. Because after the chet of Adam Rishon, the idea was that he had to do the masasik, but to gashmas, he had to do mitzvahs.
So your question is, you're making a statement that through Yediyas HaTorah and Hasagas HaTorah, the state of our souls is restored
back to
our states, to Adam HaRishon before the Chet. Okay. Perhaps. I don't know, I think it's a separate concept. I really don't know. The Alter Rebbe, in this parentheses, is clarifying one more significant point, which I would like to explain briefly. The concept of levush that characterizes a mitzvah is not only in the sense that when a Jew performs a mitzvah, his energy and his faculties and his limbs are absorbed within the act, versus Torah, which in addition to that, the Torah is also absorbed by his mind. There's something deeper about the makif, about the encompassing nature of the mitzvah. And that is, imagine for a moment the difference between a teacher communicating ideas to a student and a master communicating a command to his servant. What is the difference? The teacher cannot tell the student, "Understand what I am telling you. You have to understand." That's not a teacher. The teacher has to limit himself, define himself, articulate himself in accordance with the intellectual capacity of the student, communicate the ideas in a manner that they should permeate the student internally. When the master, however, communicates his command to the servant, he doesn't have to articulate it in a manner that it is absorbed within the psyche and character of the servant. He can say it exactly as it is in his mind. He does not have to compromise the message. In a way, that is the difference between pnimi and makif. The relationship between a teacher and a student is a pnimiyistika one, is an internal one. It's an indwelling light that permeates the identity of the student. The relationship between a master and a servant is a makavdika one, is an encompassing one. In other words, not relating to the parameters of the servant, but rather overwhelming him, which conceptually can be said to be encircling him. Of course, not in the physical sense, but in the conceptual sense. There is an advantage in the teacher communicating to the student that the message becomes absorbed and digested, internalized within the life of the student. But there's also, conceptually speaking, an advantage in the other element. Because ultimately, in the scenario of the teacher and the student, the message has to be articulated and defined, limited and contracted in accordance with the capacity of the student. Versus the master and the servant, the master does not have to compromise the message in any way whatsoever. In light of this, it would seem that although Torah has that unique advantage that it is pnimi, something that other mitzvahs doesn't have, nevertheless, there's another advantage that mitzvahs contain over Torah. And that is, since Torah is something that the whole idea is that it should be digested and assimilated within the human identity, so the wisdom of Torah, although it's divine wisdom, but it's articulated to the person in a manner that it can enter his realm of experience. The mitzvah does not have that. The mitzvah, Hashem tells you exactly what he wants. Your endeavor, your participation is not in making that will part of your identity, is doing it. Do it with love, do it with awe, do it with passion, but you're doing the mitzvah as is. The intensity of the message seems to remain in its full purity due to its disadvantage that it does not have to be internalized within the person. So yes, Torah is mazayin, and that's its advantage, but mitzvah is levush, and that is another advantage. So the Alter Rebbe emphasizes, no, Torah, in addition to being mazayin, is also a levush. Why is Torah a levush? Because the mind closes itself within it in the midst of concentration and study. The Alter Rebbe is now referring to the concept he discussed before, where when the person is immersed in Torah study before he grasped the concept totally, what occurs is his mind is enclosed within the concept in the sense that the concept has him. The concept is still eluding him. He still did not get it. He's still trying to get a hold on it, to contain it, to grasp it, to internalize it. Once he understood the concept clearly, we discussed in the beginning of Perek Hey, he is encompassed by the concept only in the sense that he's occupied by it. But in the stage of Biyun of Elimudo, when he's in the midst of study, the Alter Rebbe is saying, over here the makif of mitzvahs also exists. Over here there's that concept where the soul strives to get it, where the soul does not have it yet, where the soul is seeking to grasp onto it because the concept keeps on eluding him, and thus the concept can be set to encompassing him, encircling him, and not being compromised to his realm of experience. That's why he's toiling and attempting to have it. So in that sense, the divine light has the advantage of being above and beyond the parameters of the human being. But nevertheless, it still cannot be compared to the mitzvah. Because in Torah, he's soon going to get it. He's in the middle of learning it, he doesn't have it. It's still eluding him, it's still hovering above him, it's encircling him, but he knows he's going to get it. You're sitting in, you could be sitting in a lecture, you don't have it yet, but you know, one more paragraph, one more sentence, you're getting the picture. So you're going to have it soon. So the makif element, the infinite intensity, is a relative one. In mitzvahs, it seems to be an absolute one. As much as you toil, you could toil to understand what to do, but the actual will remains beyond the person. So the Alter Rebbe adds that when the person is mighty befiv bedibor, when he utters the words of Torah and dibur, another element is introduced. And this is the makif of dibur. Breath of speech creates an energy. And an energy in the physical sense, and also in the spiritual sense, because physicality and spirituality are interrelated. And this is an energy that hovers over the human being. It hovers over the words and the wisdom that he is articulating, that he is learning, that he is communicating. This breath is a physical breath, but it is very much connected to the divine reality because it's breath of Torah. So over here, there is the element of makiv that exists in Limud HaTorah. That is a makiv that encompasses the person and encompasses him in a manner that it does not compromise itself in accordance with his limited realms. Thus, when the Jew understands Torah and learns Torah, not only does he have the mazayin, the internalized dynamic of Torah, not only does he have the levush like other mitzvahs that his mind is enclosed within the Torah, not only does he have the makiv like other mitzvahs with the advantage that when he's concentrating and learning, it's still hovering above him and encircling him. But when he actually utters those words, so there is a vina deeper, more intense, more infinite makiv that is created and thus envelops and embraces the entire soul of the Jew with godliness, both as the soul is embracing Hashem and Hashem is embracing the Jew. There is a fusion where the Jew and Hashem become one entity. Have a good night and a wonderful week. As mentioned, next week, due to the fact that it's Tisha B'Av, may be transformed to a day of joy, there will not be a shiur. The shiur will resume the following Tuesday afterwards at 8:30 in the evening over here in Eich Menachem.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichel Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichel Menachem at 718-633-1076.